I hope you all are well. It's my privilege to read the scripture today, and the scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandal, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborers deserve his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a house, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town and clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good afternoon. It gives me great delight and pleasure to invite our speaker this morning, Reverend Dr. David Harley. So, Pastor David and Rosemary, they were members here at SJSM for 10 years. David often preached at SJSM, and Rosemary served as our missions pastor. Previously, they worked in Ethiopia and taught at All Nations Christian College in the UK, where David was the principal. And here in Singapore, they taught at DTC, Discipleship Training Center, and TTC before David was appointed General Director of OMF. They have written some books that were on sale at the concourse, but just before coming in, I think there were only 5 or 6 left.
There are.
Is that correct? Yeah, so. Next round. Yeah. Maybe join me as we invite Pastor David. We first met at a clergy retreat where Pastor David was sharing, and he introduced himself as Harley Davidson. Father, we thank you for your servant. We pray that you give us attentive ears to hear from you. Give us eyes to see your vision, that the harvest is plentiful. And give us quickened hands and feet to do your will, that we may be your laborers. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'm sorry about the books. That one was on Abraham, and it was written because I preached a sermon series on Abraham here, and then Choi Ping, who was an editor, member of SJSM, she said, "Why don't you write a book?" So she used Zoe Publishing, and we published that book. I think the first weekend we sold 600 copies. But now, we brought a few, but they've all gone, I'm sorry. maybe you can get more from Choi Ping and Zoe. Another book was about Exodus, story of Exodus. That book was dedicated to the members of SJSM. That's also gone now. But again, it may be possible to get copies from Zoe Publishing. And then two other books. Are there two other books? Yeah. The one on the left, this one, I have five copies left. It's the story of how God called us, how we met, how we went to Ethiopia, how we had our children in Ethiopia as a family, how we worked amongst Jewish people, how we worked training others, and then how we came to Singapore. And there's two chapters about Singapore, and there's some pages about SJSM and our experience, with some of your names are mentioned, but nothing libelous. There are five copies left. I think we brought 50 or 60. There's five left up there after the service. Anyway, sorry about that. Oh, the other one is on Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Because people don't like those books. We had a lady in our church, and she read the Bible from beginning with Genesis. And in February, she got to Leviticus. And she said, I can't understand. If I read another law, I shall burst into tears. So I tried to write the book to help people understand those books from the Bible. Anyway, enough about commercials. The greedy E1 bought all the books. Nearly. Now it's lovely to be here at SJSM. For 10 years, you were our spiritual family, and we were blessed and encouraged so much. In England, you do not find Anglican churches with so many people. And so it was a blessing. And we belong to a home group. And we loved the home group. Every week it was so encouraging. And we would go 8 o'clock and we would talk and share and pray. At 9 o'clock we read the Bible and discuss the Bible. At 10 o'clock, the main point of the meeting was Makan. Now it was great. We were really encouraged and blessed. And it's lovely to be back. And thank you, Pastor Victor, for letting me come and preach. So let's look then at this passage, Luke chapter 10. Jesus sends 70. Who were these people? They were just following Jesus. And they listened to him. And they heard him teaching. And they saw his miracles. And they looked at his life. And then Jesus one day said, "All right, enough watching, enough observing, enough listening to sermons. Now you must go and do something." And the Christian life is not just a matter of praying, going to church, reading a Bible. It's going out and serving Jesus. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. So Jesus sends these 70 out, and I want us to look at this passage. What does it tell us about what has Jesus for you and me to do today? You know, you are really blessed in SJSM. Well, 50 years over. God has blessed this church. And you've grown. And many people have come to the Lord. We were here, I remember, with Bishop Renners. He was pastor. And one year he said, I want each cell group to bring three people to Jesus. And we thought, oh, three people to Jesus. If we bring one, that will be good. At the end of that year, there were 14 people were baptized here. Well, not here, in the other sanctuary. Some of them were children. Most were adults. I thought that was amazing to see God work like that. God's blessed this church and blessed it. So now you built this lovely big sanctuary. And now you have SJSM Village. And that it's... You have so much to thank God for. And you sent out many people to, I think the pastor was saying, you have 22 missionaries you have sent out. That's great. My question is, who will go now? What is your role now? What is God's role for SJSM in the next 10, 20 years? And what is the role he has for each of us? So that's the question I want us to consider this morning. So let's look at this passage under the title, The Harvest is Plentiful. And I think I'd like to draw out four things from this passage. First, the vision Jesus has. He says in verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord to send out workers into the harvest field. He had a picture of a field, and the harvest time had come. It was time to reap the harvest. He says, there are people who long to hear about me. There are people who long to hear the message of hope, forgiveness, God's love, eternal life. There are people who are lonely, people who are afraid, people who need to hear the good news. The harvest is plentiful. People are ready, but the workers are few. So he sends out these 70 or 72 people to go out into villages. It says, look at verse 1. To every town and village where he was about to come. I like that phrase. They are sent out and then Jesus will come. And where you go, then Jesus wants to come. And Jesus wanted to go to every village. And here in Singapore, he wants to go into every community. Every block, apartments, every condo, every place. So the harvest began in Galilee. That's not the end. That is the beginning of the harvest. One day he will say to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So the vision of Jesus and the vision of God is the world, all peoples. That's the story of the Bible as I understand it. God loves the world. He made all peoples. He loves all peoples. God chose Abraham to bless all nations. God chose the people of Israel to be a light, an example to the nations. God sent his Son to be the Savior of all people. God so loved the world, he gave his Son. God sent his Holy Spirit that the disciples could have courage to take the gospel to the far corners of the earth. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth and the end of time. And we always sung, I love the way that your worship is led. And at the end of time, we sung about that. When Jesus reigns, there will be people from every tongue, tribe, nation worshiping God and the Lamb. The story of the Bible is the story of God's love for the world. That's the vision Jesus has. So, how do you see God working today? Is God working today? Sometimes in England, I wonder, we struggle with some churches. Growing churches in England are Chinese churches, Korean churches, Nigerian churches. But sometimes we struggle in the UK. But look at other parts of the world and God is at work. Mongolia, Outer Mongolia. Mongolia People's Republic, our son reminds me, is the correct title. 70 years ago, there was not one Christian in Mongolia. Today, there are 50,000. Nepal. 70 years ago in Nepal, there was not a single Nepalese Christian in Nepal. Today, there are 3 million. Africa. 70 years ago in Africa, only 10% of Africans were Christian. And someone at the World Council of Churches said, in a few years' time, Christianity will die in Africa. Well, it has not died. There are today 680 million people in Africa who claim to follow Christ. 680 million, 50% of the population of Africa. God is at work. Are you encouraged? Some of you look more encouraged than others. It should encourage us and praise God. But it's only half the story. Yes, God is working in those countries, but in other countries, there are so many who have never heard about Jesus. They do not know what it means to worship Jesus, to have forgiveness, to have the peace of God in their hearts, to receive the Holy Spirit, to have a hope, a certain hope of eternal life. Do you? We sang this morning of these wonderful truths. Are they really true for you? Are they wonderful for you? Yeah, there are many people in the world who've never understood these things. Never heard about Jesus. I went to a university in Thailand. Not one student in that university ever heard about Jesus. How will they hear? They don't know about the love of God or forgiveness or peace or eternal life. How will they hear? The mission that we used to work for was the China Inland Mission, now called OMF International. And the founder was a man called Hudson Taylor. And at the age of 19, he said, he has this burden in his heart of 19 million Chinese every day dying and living, dying without Christ. So let me get the figure right. 12 million people in China going to a Christless eternity without God and without hope. That burned with Hudson Taylor. He was driven by that. Are we moved? Jesus, the vision of Jesus is the world. What's our vision? Secondly, let's look at the people Jesus uses. What kind of people? If Jesus wants to reach the world, what people, what kind of people does he use? What kind of, you know, very, very special, very holy, very gifted? You know, Jesus doesn't use very holy people or perfect people. Because there aren't any. He uses ordinary people. Who were these 70? What do we know? Look at verse 1. What do we know about these 70? What does it tell us? They were 70 others. That's all. Others. They were not Peter, James, John, Andrew. They were not apostles. They were not leaders. They were not famous. We haven't got their names at all. So what were they? Ordinary followers of Jesus. That's all. Ordinary Christians, if you will. And they were weak. Jesus said, well, I can't send you one by one because you're too weak. You get depressed, have breakdown. Preach heresy. So he sent them in pairs as a team. And they did not want to go. They were reluctant to go. It says in verse 2, the Lord of the workers must force them out. A very strong word in the Greek. Must force them, compel them, drive them. It implies, I don't want to do this. Never done it before. Cannot. What kind of people does Jesus use? Ordinary Christians, weak Christians, reluctant Christians. He uses all of us. And all of us in this sanctuary, if you know Jesus, he uses you. And he gives you opportunities. You know, where you live, where you work, where you relax, you are a witness for Jesus by who you are, by your personality, by your honesty, by your integrity. Now, some people at SJSM are very gifted evangelists. I remember being with one lady at a party, and Rosemary and I were talking with some strangers, and this lady from SJSM came, and within 30 seconds, in a very natural way, she was talking about Jesus. She had a gift. I wish I had that gift. I don't have that gift. Some of you have that gift. We'll use it. Most of us are shy, and I'm English, so I am shy. And but we can all be a light for Jesus where we are. And yes, not be ashamed of Jesus. Talk about Jesus when we have the right opportunity. You are unique. Whether you're 8 or 80, you have a role. Jesus uses you. You can reach people nobody else can. And many of you are in business. doctors, nurses, teachers, lawyers, IT, whatever. And in your profession, by your integrity, by the kind of person you are a light for Christ. And some of you go overseas to work. Do you know how blessed you are in Singapore? How blessed you are in terms of your education, your economy? Now, with blessing comes responsibility. So God has blessed this country so much. So how do you respond to that blessing? And I think that this country of Singapore has so much to give to the world. I was general director of OMF, and I was the last Western general director. I was succeeded by a doctor from Hong Kong, Patrick Fung, and now 2 weeks ago, a doctor from Taiwan, Joseph Cheng, became the general director. He's actually, I'm delighted to say, with us this afternoon. What is it? I think that's exciting. We were at this conference for OMF of leaders. And I didn't count, but I think there were more Asians at that conference than Westerners. And I'm sure that is part of God's plan and God's will. You know, in the past, yes, white missionaries brought the gospel to Asia. Great, praise God. Now the major responsibility is not with white people, but with Asians and Africans and Latin Americans. It's your responsibility. And I believe that Singapore has a great part to play in that. And it's great you send out so many missionaries. I pray you'll continue to do that, to send out people. God uses all of us, and God gives us all opportunities to serve. But we're ordinary. Rosemary and my testimony is we're just ordinary, weak people with limitations. But he uses you. He uses each of us. Thirdly, what is the task that Jesus gives? Look at verse 9. Jesus says in verse 9, heal those that are sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come. Two things. Heal and preach. Care for people and share the good news. That's our job. That's our role. Heal the sick. And they did. These 70, they'd never done a miracle before. They went out and they saw miracles. They saw God working in miracles. And I know here at SJSM, you have seen miracles. We have a friend, Tenchai, goes to E1. And, 12, 15 years ago, he had such serious cancer. The doctors were sure he would die. He had 7 operations. His liver got smaller and smaller and smaller. He's still alive today. We had a meal with him this week. He's a miracle of God's grace. And I know some of you went on mission trips and you've seen God work in miracle. Well, it's great. And we need to be open to God working however he wills. But we can care for people in many ways. And in the early church, they cared for the poor and for widows and for old people. just like you're doing here. They showed the love of God in action. So we're called to care, to be caring people. And that is why SJSM Village is so fantastic. You know, you're caring for the elderly and you're caring for the children. Now, Rosemary and I now are both in our 80s, and we live in a place for elderly people. And there are many there who are lonely, many who have difficulty walking. And how do people show the love of God? By listening to them, by helping them walk, by caring for them. And it's wonderful that you as a church care. And we care not only for people in Singapore, but people in other parts of the world. You know, you are a rich country. I think sometimes, like living in England, we still are in a developing country. You are a rich country. And so how much can you give to help people in need? Famine, natural disasters, war in Ukraine, war in Gaza, whatever. It's. Do you feel, too much cannot help that and that? It's too much cannot. Do we let God touch our hearts to give to those in need? First part of the call was to care, and the second part is to tell them the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come, Jesus said. Because the King has come. Jesus, the King, Creator, Son of God, Judge of all people, Savior of the world. That's who He is. So tell people that. It's good news for everyone. It is of universal relevance for all people. Jesus did not say, don't worry about those people, not apply to them, they're okay. He never blew a whistle and said, stop. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's what we sang about. All these lovely songs, they're great. Do we believe them? Or is it just sort of, nice song? It's a wonderful message. It's a serious message because it's about life and death. And it's a universal message. Do you believe that? It's for all people. There is one Savior. That's our message. Now, we have to be sensitive and not arrogant. I think sometimes as Christians we can sound arrogant. We have all the answers. Well, you don't have all the answers. And we can learn so much from people of every background and culture. But we do know this. The Savior of the world has come. And I believe we need sensitivity and humility, but confidence in who Jesus is. Confidence to believe that Jesus changes people's lives. We met, we worked amongst Jewish people, and I've met Jewish people, and they say, my life has radically changed because I've met Jesus. One man said, I now know the God of Abraham. Another said, I now know I am forgiven. Jesus changes lives. So what is our message we have? We have to care, and share. Share the good news. Then finally, what is the sacrifice that Jesus demands? It's great to follow Jesus. Yeah, we worship him. Wonderful. But then he says, it's not all easy. He says, it's difficult. A pastor in Myanmar was killed because he was a pastor. A Jewish lady came to faith in Jesus in Israel, and she wrote and told her father, and her Jewish father said, "You are not my daughter. I disown you." He put her obituary in the Jewish paper in England. Won't talk to her. It's not easy to follow Jesus. And it's not easy to serve Jesus. Jesus here says, I send you out, verse 3, like lambs among wolves. Do you get the picture? Think of a little lamb, few months old, small, helpless, vulnerable, and wolves surrounding it and about ready to tear it apart. And I told this story in a church in Brazil, and I described the wolves as fierce and horrible and ugly, and everybody in the church laughed. I say, why are you laughing? Because your translator is called Mr. Wolf. Lobo. anyway, but the picture is of suffering. It's not easy. And he says, don't take too many things. Travel light. Don't take a bag, extra sandals, and this and that. Just trust in the Lord. We get obsessed with our possessions, don't we? Our possessions are more important to us than Jesus sometimes. And Jesus says, don't let your life be dominated by our possessions. And be willing to make sacrifice. Don't talk to anyone on the way, he says. Don't get sidetracked. Just keep your focus. Are we willing to make sacrifices for Jesus that other people in the world might hear about him? Even if we go to another country and it's more hard and you're away from your family and life's not so easy. See, what are our priorities? I knew a doctor from New Zealand, surgeon, and he went to Thailand, served for many years. His friends said to him, "That's the end of your career. You will never get a top position back in New Zealand." He said, "Okay." But when he did retire and go back, he actually reached the top of his department in surgery. God is no man's debtor. But he asks us, are we willing to make sacrifice? What's your important thing? Is it your career? Is it best salary? Biggest condo? Best club? More credit card? Is that a goal? Ultimate goal. There's nothing wrong with those things, provided Jesus is at the top. And would you let your children go and serve Jesus in another country and take your grandchildren? That's hard. But you see, the Son of God left heaven and gave up everything for us. Everything. And we say, no, Lord, you can't have that. No, I will serve you, but so much. Really? Someone said, if the Son of God loved me and died for me, then no sacrifice that I can make can be too great. So we all have a part to play. Whether you're 8 or 80. That's the vision Jesus has. That's the people he uses. That's the task he gives. And that's the sacrifice he asks us to make. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, you gave up everything for us. And we are so reluctant to give you everything. We want to put conditions. We want to close parts of our lives from you. I pray, Lord Jesus, help each of us to know the place you have for us, the role you have for us, whether it's here in Singapore, in our family, in our place of work, whatever, or whether it's somewhere else. Lord Jesus, help each of us to say, Lord, here I am. Help me to do what you want me to do. We pray in your name. Amen.